sings of all the Vaishnavas, that I can speak something for the glorification of the Lord and the purification of my heart. Hare Krishna. So, the first canto was building up to the climax of the appearance of Shukadev Goswami. And that is the last chapter. So Shukadev Goswami appears, but he is silent. And Parikshit Maharaj glorifies him. So he starts speaking in this canto. And just like if there is a great warrior, there's a movie going on, and then how the warrior enters. You know, he will be using his sword and rescuing the innocent and killing the demoniac or whatever. So Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would compare a sadhu to a spiritual warrior. And what are the weapons of a sadhu? They are the words. And what is the battlefield? The battlefield is the consciousness. And what is the enemy that is to be killed? That are the illusions, the misconceptions. So as soon as Shukadev Goswami is entering, he's lashing out at all materialistic misconceptions. Previous verse, he says, materialistic verse, I have so many nonsensical subjects to study. Shrotavyadi Rajendran Runam Santi Sahasrasha. Unlimited. Prabhupada says this refers primarily to newspapers. Runam Santi Sahasrasha. They call it newspapers, but there is nothing new in it. It's just Puna. The forms may be new, but the news is the same. There is three things. There is deceit, destruction, and death. That's all that there is. So, Nrunam Santi Sahasrasha. Apashyatam Atva Tattvam Griheshu Grahamedhinam. So, this is materialistic people are just caught up in this thing. So, Prabhupada views this. Shrotavya Nrunam Santi Sahasrasha. He categorizes into two categories on the purport. He says, one is that people talk about illusory subjects and they're unlimited. We go into even academic fields, there are unlimited books, practically speaking. And so that is about illusion, about the illusory subjects of which are within the purview of material energy. But another form of Nrunam Santi Sahasrasha is they create illusory discussions on the absolute truth also. That means about Krishna also they create misconceptions and they discuss those. And both of them keep them apashyatam atva tattvam. They cannot see anything by that. Now, of course, the first verse which Shukadev Goswami starts with, Varyanayashate Prashnaha. That very good questions you had. Atmavit sammatah pumsam shrotavyadishu yaparal. Yad lokahitam drana. That is, this is beneficial for people to hear. And now, actually, after the Bhagavatam is very logical and systematic, and Bhurijan Prabhu is unveiling this lotus feet. That is one of his objectives, to explain the systematic flow of thought in the Bhagavatam. The mundane scholars, when they studied the Upanishads, they like them, very philosophical, abstract. That gives them a lot of room for speculation. But the Puranas are straightforward stories. They don't get any room for speculation. So they say this Puranas are too simple. They're motley stories, random stories brought together. But actually there's a systematic flow of thought. And Shukadev Goswami is a spiritual historian. He's not a mundane historian. Mundane historian means he'll just give date. This time. But that is not the interest of Shukadev Goswami. Because as he tells later on, Ayur Harati Vaipumsam. What is special about writing when who died in the material world? Everybody is going to die. That is what history is mostly about. So he's a spiritual historian means in whichever kalpa, whichever universe, whichever yuga, whoever succeeded in going beyond the clutches of time, whoever succeeded in achieving spiritual success, all those stories are brought together in the Bhagavatam. That's why he's a spiritual historian. And here, he first verse he tells that this is the best lokahitam drana, this is the best benefit to ask this sort of question, get the answers. And then, how it is so, he explains. In the first previous verse, he said that the people talk about hundreds of things apart from Krishna, apart from the Supreme Absolute Truth. And the result is, they continue on in material entanglement. And apashyatam atva tattvam, they cannot understand the soul. Somebody may say, okay, I don't understand the soul, what is the problem? But then the problem is described in this verse. If apashyatam atva tattvam, then how does the life spend? The life is spent in just materialistic activities. Ahara nidra bhayamaithunam cha. That is what is described in this verse. And somebody may say, what is the problem with this? I am enjoying life. But the next verse describes that actually all this will be finished at the time of death. Deha patyakalatra adishu atma sainyeshu asatsvapitesham pramatto nidhanam pashyan api na pashyati. So, Prabhupada writes the word, although one is sufficiently experienced, but still one doesn't learn. We see that all our relatives, elders, they all die and we are also going to die. But still, we do not inquire about the eternal. And then he says, so therefore, why is Nrunam Santi Sahasrara, why is all that a waste? Because everything will be finished at the time of death. But then what is the solution? Is there a solution? Yes, he says. Parikshit Maharaj had asked two questions. What is the duty of a person in general? And what is the duty of a person about to die? The answers come at different places, but here he gives a quick answer. He says, the duty of a person throughout his life is, that's the fifth verse, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma, Bhagwan Ishwaro Hari, Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha, Smartavyascha Ichchata Bhayam. If one wants to be fearless, then always, Tasmat Bhagwan Ishwaro Hari, Shrotavya, one should hear. Then, Kirtitavyascha, not only hear, Prabhupada writes, after hearing perfectly and scrutinizingly. Should hear perfectly and scrutinizingly, not sentimental. Understand it properly. Then what should we do? Kirtitavyascha. We should speak about it. And then Smartavya. If we remember, so if we hear, we speak, then naturally we'll remember, we'll become absorbed. And then Ichchata Bhayam, one will become fearless. And this remembrance of Krishna is the perfection of life. That is the success of life. That comes in the sixth verse. Etavan Sankhya Yoga Abhyam Swadharmo Paninishtaya Janmalabha Parhapumsam Ante Narayana Smriti. The end of life, one should be able to remember Krishna. So, he gives a very systematic flow. If we don't hear about Krishna, then we'll just remember material things in this world and we'll continue on the cycle of birth in it. But if we hear about Krishna, then we'll remember Krishna at the time of death. And as Krishna says in 8.5, 4 and 5, Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. We'll go back home, back to God. So now in this particular verse, that is the overall thought flow that is happening in this section. And then afterwards he goes on and says that the transcendentalists, the devotees delight in these. And even if you don't delight, at least hear. Gradually the taste will come. So in this particular verse, Shukadev Goswami is actually describing how a materialistic person wastes his life. So just before the class, Jiva Goswami was telling me that Jiva Goswami says that he's actually encouraging Parikshit Maharaj. He seems to be actually smashing. Materialistic people are wasting their lives. And day and night, just materialistic activities. How is that an encouragement? Because, actually, Parikshit Maharaj has given up that way of life. And he has taken the renounced way of life. So, here is an important point. Even if a devotee chastises us, that should also encourage us in a devotional service. Because, that chastisement is to remove the misconceptions in our heart. Strong speech. On the other hand, even if a karmi encourages us, that is worse than a devotee's chastisement. Because he will encourage us in the pursuit of illusion. And what is the use of such encouragement? So Prabhupada writes that one should not make a one-sided attempt to fight the war against material nature. Because we cannot win this war. So therefore, it is better to turn towards Krishna. And so, how does a materialistic person waste his life? So he described that the conditioned soul has two primal tendencies, to get and to beget. To get and to beget. And both cause him to forget. Forget Krishna. And I told Ramayan Prabhu this, Ramayan Prabhu add one more thing, he said. And at the end, the conditioned soul regrets. So, this is materialistic life. Get, beget, forget, regret. So, actually, get. Everybody is so passionate. I want this, I want that, I want that. I was in Mangalore. They had invited us for a panel discussion. So there's a big hoarding, a young looking man. So the advertisement said, but why can't my first car be a big car? What was that advertisement? But why can't my first car be a big car? And below what was there? The advertisement was of a special car loan scheme. That means, rather than being satisfied with what we have at the physical level, people try to acquire a lot of things at the material level. Get it. But then what happens by that? They become filled with anxiety at the mental level. So, it's better to be physically possessing less and being free from mental anxiety than to be physically possessing a lot and being filled with mental anxiety. And this whole modern pursuit of get this, get that. Srila Prabhupada in his conversation says that Indians, they would better prefer to live in poverty than take debts or loans. That was the Indian culture. Because they knew debts means it becomes very a source of great anxiety. But the Western culture is live for the moment. Let's get whatever you can, enjoy. And then in the future, whatever loans you have to take, we'll see how to fill them. But then, that creates tremendous anxiety. So therefore, I want more and more and more. First of all, we have anxiety to get it. Then after we get it also, we have anxiety to maintain it. That's like one very wealthy person, he said, you know, everything I own, owns me. Everything I own, owns me. Why? Because everything that I own, it requires my time to take care. It requires my attention to maintain. If somebody has a dozen cars, it may look very impressive, a dozen cars. But he has to maintain all the cars. And he has to spend time for it. So, everything, so that's the nature of, you know, we try to possess more and more, but all that it causes is anxiety. And the pursuit of possessing more and more and more, one actually gets so much caught up that one forgets Krishna. In fact, here at least, Shukadeva Goswami is telling, you know, he is condemning materialistic life which was there at the start of Kali Yuga. But now Kali Yuga has advanced in double quotes. So, at least, Nidraya Riyanektam Vyavayana Chavavaya. So, people would enjoy bodily pleasures at night. But now people enjoy that in the daytime also. And on the other hand, Divaja Arthe Haya Rajam. In the daytime, people earn living, but nowadays people have night shifts. Where people work at night also. So, that means, actually, Devamrita Maharaj writes that what is the meaning of material progress? Material progress means newer and newer reasons and excuses for forgetting Krishna. Material progress means newer and newer reasons and excuses. Basically, no, there's no reason, only excuses. But it's excuses for forgetting Krishna. So, at least in the Vedic culture, people would have time in the mornings when they would do some spiritual activity and then they would go to their workplace. But now, morning, night, what is morning, what is night, nobody knows because people work, they think that we are very proud, we are working at an international call center or whatever. But when the call comes, sarva dharman parityaj. So you have to put aside even the dharma of the body, taking care of the body needs rest, the body needs basic amount of rejuvenation. But that also is not there. So much infatuated with materialistic pleasure, the desire for that. So, Nidraya Riyate Naktam Vivayana Chavave Divacha Arthe Haya Rajan Kutumba Bharane Nava. So these two activities are classified that to earn money and to maintain one's family. So first one earns money, but that is not the only activity in materialistic life. One also has hundreds of other distractions which are created by having more and more people and possessions around us, which one has to maintain. So this takes away the entire energy of the materialistic person. And they think this is what life is meant to be all about. They feel that this is my duty and I'm doing that duty, what is the problem? But then, this is not the duty according to scriptures. The Bhagavatam talks about aparadharma and paradharma. But it actually condemns aparadharma. And it talks about paradharma. Paradharma is mundane religion. According to mundane religion, yes, it is true that we have to take care of our family members, we have to take care of our professions and all those things. But according to the paradharma, we have to actually, our main obligation is to serve Krishna. And relationship with serving Krishna, we can do all other obligations. And if the other obligations come in the way of our service to Krishna, then we have to give Krishna the primacy. We have to give Krishna the most important position in our life. That's why Bhagavatam is called Kaitava Dharma. It condemns all false conceptions of religion. Now, unfortunately, the power of propaganda is so great that even when a person is suffering, he thinks that he is enjoying. That is the power of propaganda. So later on in the second canto itself, it describes how materialistic people live. Shwavit varahoshtra kharai. So, actually at the end, completing that point of regret, and at the end when a materialistic person lives without God consciousness, in old age he just becomes miserable, helpless. Because the body has no capacity to enjoy, and also the people for whom one worked, those people neglect a person. So he becomes completely lonely and desolate. And he feels utterly helpless, miserable. So therefore, rather as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his songs, he takes the role of a conditioned soul and he depicts. In this Bulia Tomare at the hand, he says, Na bhajiya tore dinabrutha gela ekhona ki habe gati. I did not worship you, my dear Lord, and now what is going to be my destination? So, wisdom means to look at the future and then mold our present. But modern idea of wisdom is, you mold the present the best way you want and worry about the future. Don't worry about the future. Actually, the illusion is so great. Everybody wants to get ahead in life. Now, that is the phrase which people use. I want to get ahead. Get ahead in my company. I want to get ahead in my college. I want to get ahead in my career. I want to get ahead, but nobody looks to see what is ahead. What is ahead? There's old age, disease and death. So nobody actually sees that. That's why at the end, people will regret. And fortunately for us, if devotees come in our associate, come and give us Krishna consciousness, then we can be saved from this vicious cycle of get, beget, forget and regret. But the nature of Maya's propaganda is so great that even as practicing devotees, we are allured by the temptations that the world offers. So later on in the Bhagavatam, I describe what is the life of materialistic people. Shwavid varahosht kharai samsita parusha pushu nayat karna pathopeto jatu naam gadagrajaha. So the materialistic way of life is compared to four animals. Shwavid varahosht kharai. So shwa is dog, vidvara is a pig or a hawk, and Vara Ushtra is a camel, and Karai is an ass. So these four animals. So actually, in Hindi, there is a phrase, you know, Usne mujhe topi pehna di. Topi pehna di matlab, he made a fool out of me. That's the way that word is used. So actually, these four animals, you know, you can remember, Maya puts a cap on us. So C-A-P, that is camel, ass, pig. And people think that cap is a cap. I think when they are cap, they are proud. So D is a dog also. So Prabhupada explains why these four specific animals are used. Prabhupada is very heavy. Prabhupada doesn't write this in the purport, but he talks about it in his conversations. So he says, he starts with a dog. So he says, a dog, at best, he can be a faithful servant. And he needs a master, otherwise he's always insecure. He always has to worry. Where will I get this? Where will I get that? So he has to go and beg to a master to accept him as a servant. So Prabhupada explains that when the British came to India and they started the Western education system, basically their goal was not to create self-employment among the Indians. They wanted Indians to be employees in their government. And that is the way the modern education is. Now even a person becomes very faithfully he studies, at the end what can he do? This Prabhupada says, you have to become like a dog with a certificate in your mouth. Please give me a job. Please give me a job. Please give me a job. So one has to beg like that. So Prabhupada says, materialistic life means beg like a dog. And after begging like a dog, and finally when your begging is successful, then you have to work like an ass. So that is modern times when people work in a company. Sri Bhakti Vikas Maharaj was telling that, you know, the way people work nowadays, even the donkeys would go on strike. So, even the donkeys sleep at night, but modern times people work. So, work like an ass. And then after that, for what? To beg like a dog, to work like an ass, to eat like a pig. To eat like a pig, just like a pig eats stool. So, like that, people eat all sorts of abominable foodstuffs. In the West, what all people eat, not only in the West, even in China, Taiwan. One person showed me a documentary. It showed how, you know, there are in one African village, there are big rats. And just like sometimes devotees go on Sankirtan, so this whole tribe, they goes to catch a rat. And the rat is a hole, so they seal from this side the hole. And they dig from here, and they have two guards on two sides. And it's like a planned operation. And they catch the rat, and then they kill it and eat it. and like that all sorts of animals. It's abominable. So without any discrimination, people eat whatever they want, and then at the end, enjoy like a camel. Enjoy like a camel means that actually people, especially Prabhupada compares with sexual enjoyment, that when one loses one's vital fluid, one is actually decreasing one's lifespan, one is losing one's immunity, vitality. So enjoy just like a camel eats thorns. Anything that tastes of the blood is enjoyable, similarly like that. So I was in Mangalore, so there was a panel discussion in one college, and they had invited five people. So I was there as a philosopher. There's one psychiatrist was there, and then one college professor was there, one lawyer was there, and one VJ was there, video jockey. And all of them were discussing. The topic was values, past, present, and future. So in that discussion, the whole, their idea of values basically was about, you know, it was all the students were there. So it was like basically, they all saying that the Indian culture where it doesn't allow free mixing of boys and girls, that's very restrictive. So the past values, we should leave them, and we should adopt new values, future values, that is the values of the West. So the psychiatrist, he gave such an amazing realization. He was telling that actually 95% of his patients are young people. 95% of his patients are young people. And out of those young people, 90% come to him because of frustrated love affairs. And he was telling that there are so many patients that if now somebody comes to me and they say that my child is about to commit suicide, please help him, I cannot give an appointment for the next 3 months. Because there are so many people already going to commit suicide. So I have to help them. And he was telling, as many psychologists I know, all psychologists and psychiatrists in Mangalore and wherever, they are all loaded like that. So he was telling that this... So he was not a spiritually minded person in that sense. But what he was saying is that this whole unregulated life creates so much anxiety and mental tension that people get split off. They just can't cope it. Especially in the Indian culture, one is also haunted by guilt. One knows that there are wrong things which we are doing, but then they try to suppress that, and then they feel totally miserable. So this is what happens. Enjoy like a camel. So then after that, when I was speaking, I was telling that Bhagavad Gita says that what tastes like nectar in the beginning will taste like poison in the end. So what we see in the media about people enjoying, that is showing the nectar. But here our psychiatrist is telling us the poison that is going to follow at the end. This, the media doesn't show us this, but this is the result. And apart from that, of course, there are so many dangerous physical diseases which come up. So I was telling them that AIDS is not caused by HIV. So AIDS actually means acquired intelligence deficiency syndrome. Intelligence deficiency. Why? Because we don't understand that the Shastric rules and regulations are for our benefit. They are for our protection. They are not for our restriction. And how is this is? Acquired. Acquired from whom? Acquired from the West. Acquired from the Western civilization, Western media, Western culture. This intelligence deficiency. And that's what makes people behave in ways that will lead them to terrible diseases in the future. So therefore, enjoy like a camel. People think we are enjoying, but they end suffering. Now, as devotees, we know that this materialistic way of life will lead to suffering. But still, the desires keep pulling us. So how to shift from material pleasure to higher spiritual pleasure? That is described in the Bhagavad Gita 2.54 to 2.72, the last section of the second chapter. And there, Lord Krishna brings out an interesting paradox. So he says two things. Without discipline, we cannot get the higher taste. But without the higher taste, you cannot follow discipline. So, I'll explain. So, without discipline, we cannot get the higher taste. And without the higher taste, we cannot follow discipline. So, without the higher taste, we cannot follow discipline. That's what Lord Krishna describes in 2.5960. We can recite this verse. You know it. Vishaya vinivartante. Nirāhārasya dehinah, rasavarjam rasopyasya, param drishtvāni vartate. So Lord Krishna says that even if you try to restrict, yourself in sense objects, nirāharasya dehina. Nirāharasya dehina means that we will be like, we'll feel like I'm starving and not able to get food. So it's not that only the stomach needs food. All the senses, for them, sense objects are like food. For the eyes, the form, for the ear, the sound. They're all like food. And that's of course in the conditioned stage. So in that same panel discussion that was there, so this professor, he was telling that the responsibility of the parents to discipline the children. And he said, they said that we don't keep the children, we don't keep the students in school for, in college for long. We finish the college by 5 o'clock. The parents should come, the children should come back home by 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. So he said, especially the daughter should come back home. So then one mother was telling, so parents were also there. So one mother was telling that, no, but they want to stay out for a long time and they don't want to come back. What can we do? If one day they come late, you don't let them into the house. You don't give them food and they will come next day on time. He said, the mother said, I am afraid next day they will not come back home only. So, what actually the extent of anxiety that this causes to the parents, the children, it was a revealing panel discussion for me, apart from what I spoke, what I heard also. So the point here is that, you know, the young people, they feel, why should we restrict ourselves when there is so much enjoyment available? So because they've not got the higher taste. So without the higher taste, one cannot maintain discipline. One may maintain discipline just for the sake of respect for elders or respect for culture and that sort of things. But that cannot go on for long, especially because of the materialistic bombardment that is there all around us. On the other hand, so without higher taste, we cannot maintain discipline. But then later on, Krishna describes that only when you follow discipline will you get the higher taste. Or rather, without discipline, we cannot get the higher taste. That he describes in 2.64. You can repeat after me. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu. Vishayan indriyaischaran. Atma vashyair vidheyatma. Prasadam adhigachyate. So it describes that you have to put aside your raga and dvesh. Put aside attachment and aversion and vidheyatma. Follow the scriptural rules and regulations. And by that what will happen? Prasadam adhigachyati. One will get the mercy of the Lord. One gets the mercy of the Lord. Prasade sarva dukkhanam hanirasyopajayate. Prasanna chetasoyashu buddhi paryavatishtate. So prasanna chetasoyashu. One will become happy at that time. One gets the prasad of the Lord. And interestingly, what the Lord says is, at that time our intelligence will become strong. Buddhi paryavatishtate. At that time our intelligence will become strong. So then what is our hope right now? So it's like we are caught in what in management they call lose-lose situation. Isn't it? Without discipline we cannot get the higher taste. And without the higher taste we cannot follow discipline. So what is the way out? That Krishna describes in 2.61. Can decide after me. Tani sarvani sanyamya. Yukta sita matparaha. Vashehi yasyendriyani. Tasya pragya pratishthita. So Vishwamitra Thakur describes that this verse talks about three things. He said there sanyamya and vasha. These two mean different things. He said sanyamya means to control. And vasya means to conquer. So he says that tani sarvani sanyamya. Control the senses. And what should we do? Yukta asita matpara. Fix your mind on me. That means both we have to do parallel. Discipline and higher taste. What is the higher taste? The higher taste is not some mysterious abstract concept. The higher taste is basically remembrance of Krishna. The more we remember Krishna, the more we get a higher taste. Sukhataram aparam na jatu jane. Haricharana smaranamrute na tulyam. As Kulashekhar Maharaj says. That I don't know any pleasure that is comparable with the pleasure of Hari Charana Smarana Amrutena Tulyam. The nectar of the remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Hari. So when we do this in parallel, control the senses and fix the mind on Krishna. By this what will happen? Vashehiyasendriyani. We will conquer the senses. When we conquer the senses, then what will happen? Tasya Pragya Pratishthita. Such a person is well situated in life. such a person, his pragya is intelligence. Such a person's intelligence will be established. Now, interestingly enough, although Shukadev Goswami condemns so much the materialistic way of life, but he doesn't tell that the solution is to renounce the materialistic way of life and go into jungle. What does he say the solution is? Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagwan Ishwaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Dheya Pujyas Smartavyascha Ichchata Bhayam. So he says the solution is actually hearing. Hearing followed by speaking and remembering. So Prabhupada says, as long as we are not sense controlled, we don't have our own intelligence. So till then we have to practice bhakti on borrowed intelligence. What is borrowed intelligence? Borrowed intelligence is the intelligence of the spiritual master. So Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitte Te Karya Ikya Arana Kariho Mane Asha. That the spiritual master, his word that we speak, they are our intelligence. We don't have any separate intelligence of our own. We may have a lot of materialistic intelligence, but that materialistic intelligence cannot help us in spiritual life. That's why in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when the process of creation is described, so it is described that the mind comes from the mode of goodness and the intelligence comes from the mode of passion. Now, generally we think that the intelligence is supposed to control the mind and the mind will be in the mode of passion. But why is it told like this? That the mind is in the mode of goodness. The purpose of goodness is maintenance and the purpose of passion is creation. So what the materialistic mind does is it maintains our materialistic existence. That is why it is said the mind is said to come from goodness. And what does the materialistic intelligence do? It creates newer and newer plans to expand that existence. That's like modern science and technology. What is that? Prabhupada writes, modern science means expanding the ignorance. Expanding the ignorance. So the materialistic intelligence is used for what? For expanding our material existence. That's why the materialistic intelligence cannot save us from our materialistic mind. And that's why people who are materially very intelligent also, they also fall prey to Maya. Vidvam samapi karshati. Vidvam samapi karshati. And intelligent people, even big philosophers, scholars, scientists, none of them have control over their senses. Now, Albert Einstein is considered to be like the greatest scientist of modern times. But then, what was his personal life? You know, his college, he had a love marriage and then he got frustrated. Then he had an affair with his own cousin. And his wife got frustrated with him and he had a relationship with both of them and finally left his wife and married his cousin. And then he left his cousin also, married somebody else. So that was his personal life. And that's what is the life of most people who are, even they are materially intellectual, that doesn't mean that their material intelligence enables them to control their senses. They may be able to control their senses to pursue their sense gratification. That means for his scientific research, he might be able to control his senses. But when it comes to a lifestyle of control senses, one cannot do that with materialistic intelligence. That's why we need spiritual intelligence. And spiritual intelligence comes by Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitte Te Karya Ikya. So once Srila Prabhupada, I was asking some devotees, now what do you need to become Krishna conscious? And Prabhupada had told many times. So the devotees said, sincerity. So Prabhupada said, sincerity and intelligence. Sincerity and intelligence. Why? Of course, if we are sincere, Krishna will give us intelligence. But still, I was reading one atheist's book. And I was trying for my third book, Spiritual Scientist. I was refuting the argument that he was giving. So he says, I am a sincere atheist. I sincerely believe that there is no God. Now, can there be something like a sincere atheist? What does it mean? What it means basically is that actually we have to have not a relative definition of sincerity but absolute understanding of what is sincerity. Just like, let's take a medical example. Suppose somebody is suffering from cancer and he says, I sincerely want to be cured. But if he is not intelligent enough to go to the right doctor, isn't it? His sincerity alone is not going to cure him. Sincerity, one has to, if one is pessimistic or something, I'll never be cured, I'm going to die, that's not of any use. That negative thinking will also kill him. But just sincerity alone is not enough. If one is sick, one should sincerely want to cure the disease, but along with that, one has to actually go to a doctor and take the medicine. If one is sincerely following a bogus doctor, one is sincerely following a quack, One sincerity alone will not cure a person. So along with sincerity, what should we use our sincerity to do? Should we use our sincerity to find out what is the right path for me to follow? So in this case, if one person says, I'm a sincere atheist, yes, you may believe from your heart that you're an atheist, that there is no God. But that cannot be considered sincerity, because one has never looked for the path to know about God. One has never gone to the doctor, one has never adopted the process. And therefore, sincerity means, again, the same thing. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitta Tekori Aikya. Sincerity means that we should use our sincerity to borrow the intelligence of the spiritual master and use that intelligence. Otherwise, Maya is so cunning. Sometimes even our sincerity, it's very important to be sincere. And if you're sincere, Krishna will give Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, he'll give intelligence. But then it's a war against Maya. Once I was coming from Goa to Pune, and somehow accidentally it happened that we were in a video coach all night, and noisy movie was there, we couldn't sleep. So what this movie was, a war film, a war between India and Pakistan. And what the Pakistani soldiers had done was, they had caught an Indian soldier and they had pierced his leg with severe wounds, and they had tied him to a tree and kept him there. And he was screaming in pain, help, help. And this was right on the border of India, Pakistan. The Indian soldiers came and they saw he's in pain and he's tied up. And then the second person, he said, there was the commander and there was the assistant. So the commander said, this might be a trap. So he said that, jab tak main wapas aata nahi aata, tum patthar ban jao. You don't do anything. You don't go near him, don't feel anything. Just wait. I'll go around and see if there are enemies around. So then what happened? He went all around. And when he went all around, this other person, he saw this. Our fellow comrade is crying in pain. Let me go and help him. And he went. And as soon as he went, immediately the soldier, they shot him. And then what happened? He had some sort of painkiller. So he said, at least I'll throw you the painkiller so that you'll not be in pain. And he threw the painkiller. And what the Pakistan soldiers did is, they destroyed the painkiller bottle also. So he lost his life and he couldn't help that person also. So if you see, in one sense, what happened to Bharat Maharaj is something similar. His motive was compassionate. He saw the deer that is drowning and he went to save that baby deer. And what happened? He got distracted by that. So Maya is so subtle that actually, so this particular soldier, what was his problem? He didn't follow his superior. He didn't follow the instruction of his superior. And the result was that although he had sincere motive, but instead of helping the other person, neither could he help the other person nor could he protect himself. So similarly, Maya is very cunning. And we have to use the borrowed intelligence that we get by reading Prabhupada books, by hearing classes, and with that we have to act. Otherwise, even if we have sincere motives, we might be overcome by Maya. So therefore, sincerity means we use the sincerity to borrow the intelligence from the spiritual master. And when we do that, then Krishna promises us that Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upayantite. Actually, when we, by hearing about the Lord, when the Lord enters into our heart, Pravishta Karana Randrena Swanam Bhava Saroruham Dunoti Shamalam Krishna Salilasya Thasharad. The Lord described that when Krishna is not different from his sound. So when he enters into our heart through the ears, he cleanses all the heart. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur says, my dear Lord, when you will enter into my heart, then I will tie you up in my heart. And I will tie you up and you will never be able to escape. He says, the scriptures say you are all powerful. I don't believe it. He says, Chinatsi ghoram yamapashabandham bhinatsi bhimam bhavapashabandham chinatsi sarvatra samasta bandham naivatmana bhakta krutam tu bandham. So he says, my dear Lord, chinatsi ghoram yamapashabandham. Yamraj, the noose that he ties, you can cut it off as you did for Ajamil. Bhinatsi bhimam bhavapashabandham. You can cut off all the material existence of the conditioned soul. And not only that, chinatsi sarvastra sarvasya samasta bandham. All the conditionings of all the conditioned souls you can cut off. That power you have, but one power you don't have. What is that power? Naivatmano bhakta krutam tu bandham. That when the devotee ties you with the ropes of love, you cannot escape. You cannot escape. And we see this in Damodar Leela. So that is what we have to pray to the Lord. The devotees have the bhakti. Devotees actually, Prabhupada, our spiritual master, senior Vaishnavas. So by serving them, by following their instructions, not only we get intelligence, but we also get bhakti. And when the Lord comes in our heart, then there is no fear. So, I'll conclude with this. Vilamangala Thakur says, my dear Lord, you have stolen everything from me. And now you are running away from me. I will never let you run away. I will tie you up in my heart. And you know, your crime of stealing my heart, my senses, my life is so great that it is not life imprisonment. It is eternity imprisonment. I will eternally imprison you in my heart. And in this way, I will eternally be joyful. That is the hope of a devotee. So that is what will happen by hearing about Krishna as it described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll summarize. First describe the flow. Shukadeva Goswami says, why? Tells that every all the subjects are useless. And why they are useless? Because they cannot save us from death. Only Krishna Katha can save us from death. So we discuss about materialistic people's life. Their life story is get, beget, forget, regret. And the materialistic propaganda makes suffering appear to be enjoyable. So people are begging like a dog, working like an ass, eating like a pig, and enjoying like a camel. And still they think that that is progress. But they're just forgetting Krishna more and more. So then we discussed from the Bhagavad Gita, how do we get the higher taste? Without getting the higher taste, we cannot follow discipline. Without following discipline, we cannot get the higher taste. So we have to follow discipline as much as we can and try to fix our mind on Krishna to get the higher taste in parallel. And then we will conquer the senses. And we discussed in conclusion that sincerity is important, but sincerity should be used to follow the right process using our intelligence. Using the intelligence that we get from the spiritual master, borrowed intelligence. Our intelligence will only expand our material existence. That will not terminate our material existence. So sincerity coupled with intelligence can enable us to actually serve the Lord, attract Him in our hearts, and thus be freed from all the bondages of this world. Krantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Itai Gaur Premanandi.